Okay, good morning. It's a beautiful day we have here. And when you think about Father's Day, there's a lot of emotions that go with Father's Day. And last week we started a series on joy and how to have joy in your life. What are the rules for having joy in your life? And I was thinking about continuing that series today, but you know, I was also thinking about Father's Day, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and, you know, a lot of times we think about joy as in, how can I have joy, right? How can I get this? How can I get that? And that's nothing wrong with that. We should want joy in our life. We should want joy in our children's life, and so on and so forth. But this morning, I really wanted to look at what is it that brings joy to our Heavenly Father. You know, Father's Day is a time that we set aside to thank or to honor our fathers. And, you know, we have many fathers here with us this morning. And just as a thank you and appreciation for the work that you guys do, we did bring a little gift for you guys here this morning. So make sure you get one. It's a little barbecue dry rub that is very tasty, and you'll want to try it out on the grill and various other, you know, if you don't have to grill, you can just fry up some steak and put a little dry rub on there. But I also wanted to just think about, you know, as we think about what brings our fathers, our earthly fathers, joy, and, you know, we give them gifts and we give them gratitude and we give them thanks. And I also wanted to spend some time this morning thinking about what is it that brings joy to our Heavenly Father. Because ultimately, that is what we're here to do. And, you know, there's a verse in Scripture that says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation." You know, the amazing thing is that God created this whole entire world. Everything is His. And I mean, His beauty knows no bounds, but He finds beauty in us. He created you so that He can see the beauty within you. He takes pleasure in you. And I find that to be sometimes hard to believe, because sometimes I feel like a failure. I feel like, oh, I just mess things up all the time. But the reality is that God loves us, and He takes delight in those who love Him and serve Him. Joy is the idea of passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. It's an excitement of pleasurable feelings which is caused by success, good fortune, gratification of desire, or some good possessed, or by a rational prospect of possessing what we love or desire. Gladness, exultation, exhilaration of spirits. The idea is that joy is either the excitement or the gratitude that we have when we receive something, when we possess something, or when we expect to possess something. Joy is a delight of the mind from the consideration of the present or assured approaching possession of a good. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So what is it that brings joy to our Heavenly Father? What is it that excites Him, that gets Him joyful, gets Him excited about what's going to happen? Of course, He knows from the end. But what brings delight to His mind? Well, Scripture tells us many things that brings joy to our Heavenly Father. God is not a boring God. He is very passionate about a lot of different things. And one of them we looked at last week, which was righteousness. We talked about finding joy by embracing righteousness. And God is joyful when we do that. 1 Chronicles 29 says, "O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own." David is telling the Lord as he was blessing his son and Solomon's, he is becoming king. He is blessing him. They're also getting ready to build the temple. Solomon is going to build the temple. And so David has amassed all of the materials required to build the temple. And so he says, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and you have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. The Bible says that God takes joy in the uprightness of our heart. When we do the right thing for the right reason, that pleases our Heavenly Father. He has no pleasure in wickedness. Psalm 5:4 says, For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. God does take pleasure in righteousness. The next thing that God takes pleasure in is unity. He wants us to be unified. Philippians 2:1 through 4 says, Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, this world is so full of division, so full of dividing, right? And even in our religious circles, we tend to want to divide, divide, divide. And that does not bring our Heavenly Father pleasure. What brings Him pleasure is unity. When we focus on the most important things, loving God, loving our neighbor, and being true to that. He wants us to be like-minded, but not just like-minded for like-mindedness itself. He has a purpose for what He wants us to be like-minded around. And that's found in Romans chapter 8. It says, For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. God wants us to be spiritually minded, not always concerned about our fleshly needs and desires, but to be concerned and look through the lens of God's Spirit and thinking spiritually, the things about love and joy and peace and patience, those things that bring those things. Those are the things that we're supposed to be concerned about encouraging one another, lifting one another up. And that's what God wants us to be unified around. He wants us to be unified not in tearing each other down. Let's not all get together and throw stones at each other. Let's get together and build each other up. Let's get together and do something positive. Let's get together and lift up the hands that hang down, right? Do good works for others. That brings our Heavenly Father great joy. The third thing is faith. Faith, when we trust God, that pleases Him. Hebrews 11:6 says, But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God is greatly pleased when we demonstrate our faith in Him. The fourth thing is salvation, putting our faith and trust in Him. And there's kind of four or three steps to salvation, or as far as pleasing God. The first one is humility, recognizing that we need a Savior and humbly coming to Him. Psalms 149:4 says, For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Psalms 51 says, For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. when we recognize our error and we come before God humbly and say, God, I don't deserve it, but I desire your forgiveness. I don't deserve it, but I desire that relationship with you to know your love, to know your grace. The Bible says that God is well pleased. Psalm 147:11 says, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. This world is full of people who think they are God's gift to mankind. And instead, we should be thinking that God is the gift that we need. His grace is the gift that we need. There's none of us that is self-sufficient. There is none of us that doesn't have needs, a lot of needs. Hold your breath for a second, and you'll quickly realize that you are a very needy person. Stop drinking water or food, and you'll be very grumpy and irritable. We are desperately needy, and so we must trust God. We must come to him humbly and ask for his forgiveness. Luke chapter 5 tells us how God is delighted when we repent, when we recognize our ways and we repent of them, we turn against them. Luke chapter 5 says, he spoke this parable to them saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. God loves to save people. He loves to save people. And maybe you thought in the back of your mind at some point, I'm too bad of a person. God can't help me. I've done too bad of things. There's just no hope for me. That is the farthest from the truth. God loves to save people, even the worst of people. You look at the Apostle Paul, you look at King David, they were horrible people. You look at Abraham and his sons and some of the shenanigans that they pulled. They were not good, righteous people, but they trusted God. It said that Abraham trusted God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And God is the same way. He wants to save everyone, every sinner. Verse 8 says, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends together and her neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. God is pursuing you. He is pursuing your family. He wants to see joy. He wants to see you having hope, and that brings joy to God. Luke 12:32 says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What an amazing verse that is, that our Father in heaven wants to give us great and wonderful gifts because he delights in us. And the greatest gift that he wants to give us is the chance to start over, the chance at a new slate. His son wiping away all of our sin, wiping away the mistakes of the past, and the opportunity to be free from those and to be free to pursue a life of goodness. And if you are here this morning and you have never received Christ as your Savior, it is just as simple as bowing your head and asking God for your forgiveness, for his forgiveness, and to take control of your life, and to make you him to to ask Him to make you the person that He wants you to be. It really is as simple as that. Trusting in your heart for the work that He did on the cross and asking Him to continue to work in your heart. It's not about what you say. It's not about a prayer. It's about putting your faith and trust in Him. The fifth thing that brings delight to our Heavenly Father, and it's really kind of like the one we don't want to hear, obedience, right? O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "So Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams.'" 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus." God expects and delights in obedience. When we do what He asks us to do, it makes Him happy. Can any parent relate to that? When you tell your child what to do and they just go and do it, it's like, oh, this is how it's supposed to work. This is wonderful. Right? And I guarantee you, there's a lot of fathers out there that are like, oh yeah, I can agree with that. Obedience is so important. And the last one is sacrifice. The sixth thing that God loves, and there are many, many others, is sacrifice. But what kind of sacrifice? Well, one of the sacrifices is praising God. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Now, that's something we do on Sunday morning as we sing praises to our God. But it's also something that God wants us, delights in us, when we do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I don't mean just singing songs. I'm not talking about just, you know, when you're driving to work, turning on the radio, right, and just singing with all your heart. That is part of it. But it's also when somebody says, "Hey, you did a great job." Say, "Thank you. My Heavenly Father gave me the strength to do that." Praising Him, reflecting the praise that comes to us and reflecting it to Him. Speaking of His goodness everywhere we go, being a witness of praise to God. That is the sacrifice of praise. It's serving Him by praising Him each and every day. And the other thing is, the other sacrifice that God wants us to make, He finds great delight in, is helping others. Hebrews 13:16 says, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." When we sacrifice our own time, our own money, our own goods, the things that God has blessed us with, and we share those with other people, whether it's knowledge of how to do something, whether it's material goods or possessions, God wants us to be a sharing people. And He takes great delight when we share what we have. Just like we teach our children to share, and we find great delight when they have somebody come over and they all get along well and they take turns, you know, and it's like, oh man, this is awesome. God sees it the same way. And He takes great delight when He sees His children loving and sharing what they have with each other. God is our Heavenly Father. And in that way, He's not a whole lot different than most fathers. He loves His children. He takes great pride and pleasure in seeing His children do well, growing up into maturity, growing up into faith, doing what is good, doing what is right. And He takes great pleasure in you. And He wants to bless you because He's your Father. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, You are a good, good Father. The best anyone could ask for. Lord, some of us did not have the blessing of a good earthly father. I'm so thankful that I did. But Lord, we also recognize that even if we had the best of fathers, there is no match to Your goodness. There is no match to Your love. There is no match to Your grace and to Your mercy. And so, Lord, we praise You. Lord, we ask for Your continued grace upon us. But Lord, I pray that we would renew that idea of wanting to please our Father and point that towards You and live every day thinking, how can I please my Heavenly Father? Because we know that You are good. And when You are pleased with us, You shower down upon us blessing upon blessing and hope upon hope. And so, Lord, we thank You so much. We ask for Your continued blessing, Your continued mercy and grace upon us. And Lord, I ask that each one here would know in their heart that they are one of Yours, that they would not leave here today without knowing that they are Your child and that You find great pleasure in them. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.